And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the living, the dead and the living. And then over to verse 1 of chapter 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, may God bless that word to our hearts today and help us to understand what it's really getting at. Ros has already helped us well on the way to that with the tangrams and just understanding how things all fit together, although they are different. And one of the challenges is to put the puzzle back together again, to make the square. That's one of the challenges. You can make all those nice shapes and everything, but you actually, to actually put it all back into a way that actually makes that square shape. And sometimes maybe we as a community together, as maybe even you have this situation in your families, maybe you have it in your workplace, maybe you have it in the places that you have influence and that you spend your free time. But you wonder sometimes, how do all the pieces fit together? How do we actually make something that's unified and a whole? And how do we actually look like we've got nice straight edges rather than all crankety and pokey at the edges? Do you know, living together can be a challenge. I'm not giving away any secrets there, am I? That's something that's like evident to us all. We all know what a challenge it is just to live with each other on the most basic level, to live in our families, to live with friends, to live with people that we work alongside, but also to live together as a community of God's people in a church. Living together can be difficult because we've got different personalities, we've got different perspectives, We've got different levels of experience. We do things in different ways. We see things in different ways. There's so many things that we don't share together because they're so different in the way that we are. So I might vote one way and you might vote another. I might have perspectives on one thing that's different from your perspective, but somehow we are brought together in different ways. Human nature, of course, is to draw distinctions. It's to say, to form, for instance, groups of people who agree or are supposed to agree together or are supposed to be coming together and understanding things in a certain way or perspective. And in some ways, don't you think that the age that we live in, the age of social media, has made that, oh my goodness, 10 times more ramped up than it was before? Like, people used to join a particular social club or political party or, you know, like they say, birds of a feather flock together, don't they? So there's that sort of sense in which people were drawn by folks that seem to have that sort of sense of agreement. And we're seeing that just so ramped up in the age of Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. And we don't even have to look for it. The algorithm finds the community that we most would agree with. You only have to watch one video and you'll find you get other suggestions that are very similar to that one thing that take you down that particular rabbit hole. It is human nature to draw distinctions, to make those boundaries that define communities. And increasingly, we find that life is defined by our engagement with people like me. People like me. And we can easily try and find people who agree with our ideas, share our kind of particular view of things, look at our things the way that our personality tends to see it. But you know, my friends, if we do that, we're losing so, so very much. And one of the dangers of that is that it opens the door to seeing people and others in opposition to ourselves. And that's what we're seeing with a lot of the heat on social media these days. If you're not like me, you're against me. If you're against me, you're somebody to be opposed, to be conflicted, to be against, to be, action needs to be taken against you, rather than me sitting down and listening to what you have to say and hearing you out and trying to understand why maybe you have a perspective that maybe not mine, but equally valid to mine. That opens the door to hate, to conflict, to all kinds of issues. Now remember, and I've said this a few times as we've gone through this book of Romans. Remember, it's a letter to a church that the Apostle Paul has not yet been to, but he's heard a lot about. He knows a lot of people who are there in this very center of the Roman Empire, the city of Rome. And he has heard that the church is beginning to fracture and to splinter. And it's beginning to fracture and splinter into people like me. People like me have stepped away, and others who are like this person have stepped away, and this person have stepped away, and they're beginning to form different groups because they've got different perspectives on what they see as being the way to do church or how you need to go about things. What had started as a very Jewish sect had now become quite Gentile in its nature because so many people who were outside the Jewish faith had been invited in, had come and joined the church and become part of it. So now it was taking on different characteristics because now you had people who'd grown up all their lives in Rome and hadn't had much to do with the Jewish faith, and they were now believers, so they didn't have those same ideas that the Jewish Christians had at the very beginning. So it was a community in dispute. There was these, look at verse 1 and you'll see it. He talks about there at the end of verse 4, 1 of chapter 14, he says, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. That's just those two words as just one word in the original Greek language. And disputable matters is what he's focused on. He's talking about what was acceptable food and drink. He's not taking pot shots at vegetarians, by the way. Look at verse 2. The one whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. No, that's not what that means, okay? What he's meaning is, in Rome, it was impossible to buy meat that hadn't first gone through the temple system. Because why would you waste the sacrifice of an animal? So if animals were to be slaughtered, they were to be slaughtered. People would think, well, I'd rather, you know, so any farmer that was taking his animals into town, he'd think, well, I'd gain something if I take these through the temple and they slaughter the animals in the temple as a kind of act of worship in these various temples to different Roman gods. And then the meat is sold on. I'll gain a little bit of credit for having put the animals through as a sacrifice, and I'll still get my money at the end of the day. And Jewish Christians, Jewish believers, Jews in the city of Rome would not eat meat in that city for that reason, because this meat had first been dedicated to an idol. So they wouldn't touch it. And so they weren't making this as a sort of choice of health. They were doing it because they felt it was a way of worshiping. And the same thing applied to days, holidays to recognize. Some people recognized the sort of high days and holidays of Rome. And Jewish believers just wouldn't do that because that was, again, most of these high days and holidays in the city of Rome were dedicated to the various gods and goddesses of Rome. And so they wouldn't have anything to do with them. And they'd say, no, no, it's not to be acknowledged. So in this context, the Apostle Paul is writing into it. And in this context, there's a strong view, the view of the strong. And the view of the strong says that everything is acceptable and everything comes from God. So it doesn't matter if it's, yes, okay, it might have come through a temple, but actually we can look beyond that. We're not worshiping the idol by eating the meat. We're just enjoying something that God has provided for us to enjoy. We're not acknowledging the idol by recognizing a high day or a holiday. We're part of this city. We're taking the flow of the city, and we're not worshiping one of these idols in doing this. We're not going to do these things in a bad conscience. But there was also this minority view, because the church had become so now full of Roman Christians who hadn't originally started off as Jews. So now the Jewish Christians that had originally started the church, they were a minority. And their minority view was classed as weak, because it was more cautious, because it still believed that, well, by doing these things, we dishonor God. If we acknowledge idols, we might be dishonoring God. And the two views were in conflict. The pieces didn't fit together. They were jaggy edges that were working out. It wouldn't form that square. Everyone was kind of approaching things slightly differently, and it didn't fit together in harmony. Now, believe it or not, we do have our own modern-day equivalent of disputable matters. Now, I don't mean kind of theological issues that are fundamental to our Christian faith, like, is Jesus the Savior of the world, and did he die for my sins, and did he rise again to life? Those are fundamentals that we need to agree on, right? We can't disagree on those sort of things. But there are other things that are disputable, that you could have a different view from me, and I could have a different view from you, and it would still be, yeah, you know what, we wouldn't be denying our faith or getting in the way of what the scriptures tell us. And these things might be like whether or not you drink alcohol or not. I might respect your views, you might have to respect my views, we might think slightly differently about that. Or whether or not you celebrate Halloween or not. Some people have got a pretty strong view on that. Others don't have a strong view on that. Or matters of appearance, like, you know, I don't have any piercings, but some people do. And you know, other people also like to decorate their bodies with tattoos, and I don't. And that can sometimes lead to issues between people, sometimes just in the way that we're treating or dealing with one another. What, maybe what we read, what we watch, what we listen to, what you, the kind of music and musicians you would listen to or not, what I would listen to. And sometimes people can have bit disagreements like that by saying, oh, it's not right for a Christian to do that. Or, you know, we need to be careful. We need to be careful because maybe this is one of these disputable matters. Whether we participate in some things like acupuncture or maybe the martial arts. Some people have got even strong views of that. They don't think that that's equitable with their faith. Or perhaps, let's bring it home here, our politics. In a room like this, I can guarantee we're spread from the far right, probably, well, not maybe so far right, to quite way to the left-hand side of politics as well. We've got plenty of people in the middle. We've got plenty of diverse views. What's right for someone of faith to have and to hold? And what views should we pursue? And how do we do that? Or really, to bring it home, a style of worship. You know, some people like, you know, doing it a particular way, and other people want to do it in another way. And you know, it can lead to all sorts of divisions. All sorts of division. They're all particular and potential areas of conflict, the strong versus the weak. Now, the apostle responds to all this by explaining that when you put on Jesus, you have to put on his attitudes and actions, even in the place and context of personal preference and personality. Everything in a whole of life has to now be seen through the filter of Jesus, through that new filter, because like he says in verse 8, we belong to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And so he points out three principles that I'm going to really quickly share with you here. Three principles that might help us to negotiate this minefield of differences among us so that we can form those lovely, harmonious squares, even though we are all different shapes and sizes. Principle one, God is the judge, not me or you. God is the judge, not me or you. And here's where he begins, here in the early part of the book, chapter 14. Each of us will have to give an account of ourselves to God. Verse 13, therefore, let's stop passing judgment on one another. Let's stop passing judgment on our brothers and sisters, because they have different views from us, because they do things differently, because they kind of have different ways of expressing themselves in terms of their faith. Remember, one day we're all going to have to stand before God. We have to give an account of ourselves. Wow, that's quite a thought. And our privilege when we do that is that if we are Christians, if we believe in Jesus, do you know what? When we stand up, and God says, yeah, and what did you do? We get to go, and we point to Jesus. We just say, I tried, I believed, I walked with him. And that is our defense. Jesus stands in our place when that question comes to us. So, if we're going to be in that place, we need to live like Jesus. We need to live out Jesus. And so he talks here about removing stumbling blocks. Listen to what he says in verse 13. Stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, men, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or a sister. Make every effort. Don't just try a little bit. Make every effort to remove the stumbling blocks. And he goes on in verse 17 of chapter 14, a verse I didn't have the chance to read to you earlier. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter at the end what you eat. It doesn't matter at the end what you drink. What matters is that you are in the kingdom and your brother or sister is coming with you into the kingdom of God. It's not a matter of food or drink, but of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. So we make every effort, we work at this, we remember that God is the judge and not us. And that comes with a blessing. Blessed is the one, verse 22 in chapter 14. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Principle 2, bear with the weak, just like Jesus. Bear with the weak. We all probably have a tendency, just like these people that the Apostle Paul was writing to think of ourselves as the strong party. Yeah, we're holding on to truth. We're doing it the right way. We've got the right perspective on things because, of course, my views are correct and yours aren't. No, that isn't right. Remember that we need to bear with the weak just like Jesus. Listen to these words from verse 14. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Wow, that's a strong word, isn't it? If Jesus died for each and every one of us, then it means that my brother or sister is someone that Jesus died for. Don't, by what I do, don't let my behaviors, my views, my perspectives destroy that person. I've got to be thinking about my own views in relation to them. I need to make sure I'm not crushing them. I'm not disturbing them beyond what they can endure. Yeah. Adjust your actions to support others. And then again, he says the same thing in verse 20. Don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Paul he's got sympathies with the strong view in the city of Rome, that view that says idols are nothing, God has given us all good things to eat. But he says, don't destroy your brother or sister for the sake of that view. Don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Remember, hold things in perspective. Bear with the weak. Don't please yourself, but look to the example of Christ. Look at verse 3 of chapter 15. Even as Christ did not please himself, but went on to bear the insults of others, insults that belong to me. Though strong, he took the place of weakness. Now that takes two things, and he wants us to understand that. That takes endurance on the part of the strong, verse 4 of chapter 15, and it also takes encouragement on the part of the weak, verse 4 of chapter 15. So we need those two qualities together. We need endurance because if we think of ourselves as strong, we've got to kind of go, okay, I need to carry on with this. I need to make space for weaker brothers and sisters. And then if we're weak, we need the encouragement that comes that builds us up, that enables us to carry on. And we look to the example of Jesus. And that results in a very different sort of community, because through endurance and encouragement, we are united in God. And because of that unity in God, well, that brings us something that we just don't see too much of in the world around us today. Hope. Hope. Everything was written so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Jesus Christ had, so with one mind and one voice you might glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This principle comes with that prayer. And then there's the third principle, accept one another as God accepts us all. Verse 7, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. God has gone on a mission to go out there and find the waifs and the strays, the bits that don't fit, the bits with sharp edges, the triangles, the parallelograms, the squares of all different shapes and sizes, colors, and God has brought us all together for a purpose, to make a great harmony for his glory and his praise. To bring the Jews and the Gentiles together was always part of God's plan, is what the Apostle Paul says. It was never not in God's plan. Look at it. It's written into the Psalms. That was the wisdom literature of the Jews. It was written into Deuteronomy. That was the Torah, the laws of the Jews. It was written into the prophets. Isaiah spoke of this. And those verses that he quotes in chapter 15 come from those different parts of the scriptures, the Psalms, Deuteronomy, and Isaiah. The promises made far, far back have now been confirmed. There's a new way of living, breaking down the old boundaries. There's a new way of dealing with different views and perspectives, and it all centers on this God of hope who is bringing everybody together and everything together by the power of the Holy Spirit, giving us hope in a new way of living. And it all comes back to Jesus. We are not Jew and Gentile, but now we are the community of Jesus, God working his purposes out. So just as I finish, is God speaking to you about your place in this community of hope? Is God speaking to you about where you really belong and not allowing those small differences, those different ways of seeing things, of thinking about things to get in the way? Because, do you know, my friends, it's bigger than that. It's greater than that. God has a plan, and he's working it out from all of us together. Roz is going to come now and help us as we finish up our service.
Thanks, Andy. We're going to take a little bit of time. We're not just rushing to the end. To consider the questions Andy's put to us there, and also to think about the other hard truth there, which is, whilst this is very much focused around how we interact and how we respond to one another, the world is watching, and so much of what people